new research that you've kind of been at the head at, has stated that the national protection for significant places for Torres Strait Islander and Aboriginal peoples have been severely diminished under subsequent governments after the Whitlam government. Could you expand upon this a little bit? How have they been diminished?
Well, I think the national government was a facilitator and also offered quite a bit of national leadership to keep standards up across the country. Originally, not all the states and territories had their own protection legislation. That has been put in place, but we're now getting to the stage where it needs to be reviewed in a lot of places, and there's actually two states that are reviewing it, Western Australia and New South Wales, because they recognise there's problems, but maybe some others as well. And also, it's been a problem in that you're trying to understand things across borders, understand things across regional areas. There was a lot of research done in the 80s and 90s as a result of the Australian Heritage Commission being set up and the Register of the National Estate, which meant that there was a greater idea of what was there, and this was also known for national policy making. It's been more difficult to do that policy making at the national level for things that large developments, so like that Northern Australia development strategy, because they don't have the information that they used to at their fingertips or the expertise. It's sort of like heritage has been downgraded.
Absolutely. Is this something that is dealt with predominantly by state governments then rather than federal governments?
Well, that was the idea of the new federalism, to put the obligations on the lower levels of government. And that is actually a good idea for sustainable development, but you have to have the resources there and you also have to have the political goodwill. You know, Queensland sort of drifts out in and out of, and Western Australia a bit, of a sort of pro-development sort of lobby and all that sort of thing. But it's also got to be at the local planning level a bit. And Aboriginal communities have worked with local government in the past to set up zoning plans and work on trying to keep sensitive areas protected. Mm. But it doesn't happen in a very uniform way. It's very patchy in terms of the standards. And how Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are included in the planning process is very patchy too. And the consultation issue is very important to the question you raised about sensitivity of information and locations. So you need a good system in place that recognises that there is some information that shouldn't be made public, and also recognises Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's wishes in that respect. Mm. In the 21st century, we have the technology to try and do this, but it needs political goodwill.
We absolutely do have the technology, and I guess that's what this database is all playing on as well. But some of the concerns that have been raised, especially by the Metropolitan Local Aboriginal Land Council, they told SBS News that there was a lot of trepidation amongst communities about cultural sites being made public, people worried about vandalism and large numbers of people visiting, and concerns over people respecting the sites. Do you think we can strike a balance here between kind of protecting these sites and keeping them respected as well?
I think we have to. I think we have to. And it needs resources. It needs a lot more attention than it's been currently getting, because there are some real benefits. And you don't have to open everything up to the public. Some of the stuff I'm talking about is for planning purposes only. That's what I mean. It doesn't have to be one size fits all.
No.
Yeah.
I think that that's what people need to realise. And I think one example of where it's been done kind of really well as well is in New Zealand. Jacinda Ardern set up a campaign encouraging visitors to pledge that they'll protect the country's natural environment and respect local customs during their trip and all those sorts of things. So I think that that is definitely something we could maybe learn from here.
Oh, yeah, mindful tourism. I've done quite a bit with cultural tourism too. But it's also been really difficult for Aboriginal communities to develop tourism products because there hasn't been resourcing for that either. And, you know, there's a whole range of things that have sort of fallen off the radar that used to be important. And general education used to be done by the Heritage Commission, raising awareness about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander heritage, and that hasn't been done for years either. I mean, you can do stuff at the national level that really helps the local level without interfering with all the little bits and pieces, you know.
Absolutely. So how do you envision, I guess, this database working then? How do you envision it existing within society?
I think it would have different levels of access. I think it would need to have a bit more of a conversation than I can do at the moment coming out of this study about how that all works. But I think it's got a real advantage in that people can see opportunities to do research. It could aid setting up some of these Aboriginal studies subjects in schools. You've now got one in the HSC. Maybe some of the other states will follow and do more things in schools. At the moment, you do have the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders that is a sort of repository of a lot of traditional knowledge, but they don't seem to see the places as their remit. They do more with native title, working with communities, I suppose, on oral history and stuff, but they've been very quiet lately.
Oh, well, I think that this is an absolutely fantastic initiative. I think I really hope that something like this comes to fruition. Hilary, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, and I really enjoyed your questions. I thought they were very, very good.
Thanks, Hilary.